said that Jesus is the point.
I'm a little intimidated tonight because this is big. And not that everything in this book is not big, but this is big. And I know that I have no power and no ability to get this across tonight. But I trust that Jesus does, and man, I hope and pray and just trust that what he's picked out for us tonight is going to be amazing. Just to be honest, this is the series that I planned on doing, but it's not the message I planned on doing. It's pretty amazing how God works that way. But it's something that, man, Jesus has been poured into me the past couple weeks just through different scriptures and different things. And I just pray tonight that some of that spills out onto us. Like I said, the series is called Jesus, the Point of It All. And what it is it's hopefully an answer to an age-old question: what is the purpose of life? Everybody has heard that question. Everybody's been posed that question before, or seen it. It's everywhere. I used to encounter it more than I do today, because I think really today people have quit looking for the purpose of life. I don't think that's something that as a culture we're going for. We just kind of exist and do our thing. Hope everybody gets out of the way. But I know that everybody in this room has at least had to think at one point in time or another, man, what's the point in this? Usually on bad days, I'll give you that. Usually on days that are not super awesome, we're like, man, why are we doing this? What's the point of this thing? Why do I have to go through this every single day? And I'm just going to tell you what my answer is, and biblically what I think the answer is, and really eternally what I know the answer is, and that is the point of this thing is Jesus. That there's no deeper meaning to life other than Jesus. There's no other really thing that we should be doing in life other than meeting with Jesus. That's what we're created for. You look in Genesis, and God created everything, and he created everything with a purpose, and that purpose was God wanted to share himself with creation. And he wanted to share himself ultimately beyond that with us. And we were created to have a relationship with God. And nothing else that we try to step in the place of that is really working. Let's just be honest. It's just truth tonight. You can imagine that people, and you can see that people have tried to stuff a lot of other things in that space that was really just meant for Jesus. In the next few weeks, we're going to be exploring that and diving into that and looking at that. And tonight, we're going to be in the book of Matthew, and we're going to be in chapter 6. There's kind of a grander thing that's going on around the scripture that we're going to read tonight. If you look in chapter 5, Jesus starts this thing called the Sermon on the Mount. And I love this teaching. It jumps around a lot. Jesus covers a lot of different topics, and the reason for that, I believe, is this is one of the longest recorded teachings of Jesus in the whole Bible. It starts in chapter 5 with the Beatitudes. Blessed are the fill in the blank, for they will blank. That's the Beatitudes. And then most of you guys have heard those things before. And it goes on, and Jesus just hits on a lot of different topics, how to pray. He gives the Lord's Prayer, as we would call it, or the model prayer in this. How to fast, and then he gets into what we're going to talk about tonight in verse 19. And I don't know how long this is going to be tonight. I really don't. Maybe 3 seconds or 30 seconds. But at the end of this thing, I'm praying that Jesus breaks through something magnificent in this place. I'm going to pray again. I know some of you guys are like, man, we prayed like 2 times already. What do they think this is, church? And it is what it is, but we pray a lot, right? And we believe in prayer around here, and that's how we do that. I believe that God hears when we call out, and God answers. So, I mean, if you don't believe that, hold on, maybe you will here in a few minutes. But well, let's just pray over this tonight. I feel like sometimes there's just so much weight. Sometimes we just have to say to God individually, man, God, just speak this into me tonight, because I need this tonight. And let's just pray together. Father God, we just thank you. God, thank you for your word. God, we believe in your word. We believe, God, that this passage that we're reading tonight has something for us. God, there's something amazing in this, and there's something life-changing in this, God. And sometimes that's just a lot for us. Sometimes that's a lot for me. kind of know that there's going to be all kinds of obstacles in the way tonight and reasons, God, that all of us maybe won't hear this. And I pray, God, tonight that there'll be one big reason that we all hear this, and that's because, Jesus, we need it. God, we need to hear from you. We need to touch from you because, Jesus, tonight, just to be honest, most of us in this building, if not all of us in this building, are missing the point. And we're living like we're missing the point. And God, tonight, I just pray that, God, you'll just kind of press into us. God, that tonight as we are in this place and we're reading this scripture and there's so much weight in this tonight, God, that you'll just lean into us, God, and we will get to, in turn, lean back into you. And God, tonight, you would just speak over this. God, that you would, even in the clutter of my mind, even in the craziness of this week, God, in this place, just prove, God, it's never been really about me. It's always been about you. So God, tonight, just move me and us out of the way and just magnify Jesus in this place, because what we need in this place is Jesus. So God, pour out your Spirit on this place. Pour out your Spirit on us and speak through your word. Give us understanding and clarity tonight. Because God, we need this. God, we love you tonight. We just thank you tonight, God. We pray, God, tonight you'll be glorified in this. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Like I said tonight, we're talking about Jesus, the point of it all. We're going to dive into the scripture in Matthew chapter 6. So I just want you to kind of get a vision of this scene that's happening here. Jesus is giving a sermon on a mountain. What that looks like is Jesus is kind of up on a hill, and there are people that are down on the hill, and they're listening to Jesus, people like you and people like me. This is not some pagan society that Jesus has went to. He's not went in and penetrated the heart of like Sodom and Gomorrah right here. This is a religious people. This is the Jewish people. Jesus was Jewish, and he hung out with Jewish people because that's who was around. And when he was given the sermon, people flocked to Jesus. We talk about all the time that Jesus taught with such authority, and Jesus taught so differently than everyone else in the time. People wanted to hear that. People were interested in that. People were drawn to that. And the reason for that is, just to be completely honest, everybody else wasn't like Jesus. Everybody else looked at the scripture and they had to dig into it and interpret it and say what they thought it might mean. And here's the Word of God in flesh on the planet, sitting on a hill, talking to the people of God. He didn't have to interpret the Word of God. He is the Word of God. He just got to pour it out. So here's Jesus on this hill, and there's a group of people that are religious people, and they've sat down to hear Jesus talk. There's probably all kinds of different people in the crowd, and there's all kinds of different reasons this crowd has gathered, and Jesus is just kind of going through some different stuff. And he gets to 19, and it says, God in possessions, if you have the little subtitles, maybe you're going to say something different, but it starts in 19, and Jesus is just kind of talking, and he says, don't collect for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. Jesus looks at this people, and he says, man, don't collect for yourself treasures on earth. Seems like a pretty radical argument if you really think about the depths of what that might mean. I don't think Jesus here is saying to this mass of people, hey, everybody here should go sell everything you own and become homeless. Like, that would be awesome. I don't think that's the argument Jesus is making, and I'm not going to try to make that argument tonight. But I do want to look at this word, treasures. If you look up treasures in the dictionary, I didn't, but I Googled it. I love Google, by the way. If you Google it, it's something that's worth a great amount. It's something that it maybe is defined as precious, but then there's some other words that kind of go with it. There's some other words, if you look down there, that might be, I can't think of the name right now because my brain's crazy, but it's those words that mean the same thing. Synonyms, that's the word I wrote down when I was studying today. I'm not an English major, I teach math. There's these synonyms on the bottom, and a couple different things on there, but one of those things is you hold it dear. It's something that is precious to you. It's what I would define as something you desire. And here's Jesus, and he's saying to these people, don't collect for yourselves treasures on earth. In other words, don't think about things on earth as precious. Again, I don't think Jesus is saying, hey, go sell your house, hey, go sell your donkey, and walk out into the field and sleep on a rock. I don't think that's the argument he's making, but he's telling these people on this hill, hey, don't desire things on earth. Don't chase after things on earth. Don't spend your life and your attention and your effort chasing after and desiring after things that are earthly. And he just kind of says, wow, it's pretty intelligent, really, when you think about it. He says, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Jesus puts it in perspective for these people. And I'm going to do the same thing for us, hopefully, tonight. He says, hey, man, don't spend your whole life chasing after that really, really big house, that brand new house. Because here's the deal, just to be honest with you. You can work all day long and all night long for your entire life to buy a mansion, but one day it won't look like a mansion anymore. It's something that will decay and it will rot and it will fall down unless you continue to work and work and work. And you can go buy a new car, but one day it won't be a new car anymore. You get what I'm saying? Like, I have a new car out there. Next year, it won't be a new car anymore. And the year after that, it will be even less of a new car. And it just continues that progression because things that are down here are temporary. And that's the point I think Jesus is trying to get across. He's saying, man, some of you guys work and you fight and you struggle and you spend your whole life chasing these earthly things, these monetary things, these things that you desire. And at the end of the day, they're going to rust. At the end of the day, they're going to rot. And at the end of the day, if none of that happens, if it never rusts, if it never falls apart, if nothing ever is destroyed at the end of the day, somebody's probably going to break in and steal it. But I just want to go beyond that a little bit for you tonight. Even if you have the best like bomb security system in the world, and you have something, say you buy an old car. Well, it's already old, but it's awesome because it's an antique. So you defeated my first two arguments. Way to go. So you buy an antique car. It's already old. It's just going to get older. That's a good thing when you're an antique. And you have like this bomb security system and nobody ever steals it. Well, here's the thing. It may ever lose value. And nobody may ever steal it, but if the car doesn't rot, you will. Do you get where I'm going? You see, earthly things are temporary things, and I think that's what Jesus is trying to say here. I am a temporary thing. This body that I'm in is a temporary thing. This life, actually, that I'm living is a temporary thing. If I live another 8 seconds or 80 years, man, it's going to be gone fast. I'm 28 years old, and I think all the time, man, where did this go? Like, you know, I remember fifth grade. Like, it seems like it was 3 years ago. I remember when I started working and when I graduated college. I remember these moments, and they just flown by. Some of you guys remember important dates like that. You know, maybe when you got married or when you graduated or any of that stuff, when you started walking, Harrison. Love you, buddy. He's young, I've got to pick on him. But some of you guys remember these important dates, and man, they just fly by. Like if you have kids, you remember when you used to like hold them and change them and stuff, and now that's over. Because time flies by. Life is temporary, and Jesus is saying here to these people sitting on this mountain, hey guys, don't waste your time chasing after earthly things, because earthly things are temporary things. Earthly things were not built to last. Earthly things decay. They're destroyed. They fall apart. Poor people steal them, because that's something that's kind of common, I guess, in their culture and ours. And even if that doesn't happen, one day you will stop. One day you will cease to breathe. One day you'll quit running this race. One day you'll quit breathing. Your heart will stop, and then it's over for you. And then the new car doesn't matter when you're in a box. The new house doesn't matter when you're under the dirt. It's not something you really care about. This money that you chased after, this popularity that you tried to accumulate, all this wealth, it doesn't matter when you're in a box. They can build you a big box and they can stuff the car in there, but you're not going to drive it. And they can dig a hole big enough for your house, but you're not going to enjoy it because it's temporary. And it was always that way. And then Jesus looks right back at the people and he says, but collect for yourselves treasures in heaven. You can put this a different way. He said, put your precious things in heaven. Notice, look up and realize, man, what you desire should be in heaven. And he finishes off that statement and he says, where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves don't break in and steal. It makes heaven sound like a pretty awesome place. See, the difference in earthly things and heavenly things are earthly things are temporary and heavenly things are eternal. We don't have a concept of that. We really don't understand what that's like. But let me put it this way to you. Life is a breath. It's a vapor. That's what the Bible says. Think about a breath. You've taken two or three since I started just that last 4 seconds of conversation. And God looks at life and he says, man, life is as short as a breath. Life is just like a vapor, an aroma. It's here and it's gone. See, earthly things, our lives, our things, what we accumulate, that's all temporary, but everything in heaven is forever. Nothing in heaven rots. Nothing in heaven decays. Nothing in heaven gets old. Heaven is a different kind of place on a different kind of plane. And the stuff that's up there, 1,000, 1 million, 10 billion years from now, won't have any rust on it. It won't have any moths eating it. It's eternal. It never stops. And Jesus looks at these people and he says, hey, put your treasures in heaven. Well, this is kind of a little bit of a mean statement from Jesus because he does not show us how to translate earthly currency into heavenly bank account. He didn't put that in there like, I don't know where you go, First Bank of Pearly Gates. Like, I don't know where that is. And there's no direction here. He doesn't really give us any insight on that. I don't know how to get a heavenly couch or a heavenly car or a heavenly house. I don't know how to put anything in that bank account. And he doesn't say. And I think the thing and the reason why it doesn't say is here, we've already locked on to money. We've already locked on to possessions. We've already locked on to things because we are thing-driven. We think that way and we run that way. We always are. We're people that want. And it's not getting any better. I don't know if you know that or not, but like, look at kids, you give them a toy, and 3 seconds later, it's the next toy or the next commercial that comes on. Oh, I would rather have that one than that one. And we're not any better. You buy a new car, and the next year a new car comes out, and you want a new car. Or you get a house, and then a couple days later, you see another house, and you're like, oh man, I should have bought that house. We're people that are never satisfied. Because earthly things were never meant to satisfy. And Jesus looks, and he says, hey, put your treasures, your desires in heaven. Well, what's in heaven? If you look in Revelation, there's a lot of awesome stuff in heaven. There's some crazy-looking animals up there. And there's a lot of elders, so that's old people up there. Jesus loves old people. Read into that. Figure out pick on the ears. Make Jamie feel good. But we look at what's in heaven, and we see, man, we've already talked about it. There's pearly gates there. There's streets of gold there. If you are a Southern Baptist, there's mansions over a hilltop. More contemporary, there's a hotel. I like that better, to be honest. But I don't think any of that stuff is what God is talking about. When we think of things, and automatically we turn to the wealth of heaven, the crystal sea and the streets of gold. And I think Jesus is saying, hey, peer a little beyond that. I'll build my walls out of pearl. Sea is like crystals and the streets are like gold. He's saying, man, this monetary stuff is not really worth anything. So what is in heaven? What is the point of heaven? And the point of heaven is God is there. Yeah. Man, I don't care anything about what heaven looks like. Like, I don't, if it's a hotel or it's a mansion, that's not a big deal to me. Like, if it's like the Motel 6 and like the carpet, you want to wear socks to be on it. Like, I don't care. Because none of that matters if God is there. If God is there, and by association, Jesus is there, that's the point of heaven. And Jesus looks at these people in a very subtle way, and he says, hey, you guys, I just want to tell you something. It's not about all this stuff that you're looking for and looking at. He said it's about a little bit more than that, so look up. point was never cars, and the point was never houses, and the point was never money, it was never fame, it was never any of that stuff. The point is me. And Jesus looks at these people and he says, set your desires, set your treasures, set your heart in heaven, where God is. And then he says this. He says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And in one simple statement, Jesus sums up the whole thing for us and for them. He says, man, where your treasure is, where what you desire is, where what you look at of great substance and value is, there your heart will be also. He says, if what you value, if what you desire, if what you're running at is a new car, your heart is a new car. He says, if what you desire is a new house, or what you desire is wealth, or popularity, or fame, that's where your heart is. Then he says, if your treasure is me, if your treasure is God, if what you desire, if what you're running toward, if the trajectory of your life is aimed at God, that's where your heart is. So tonight, I guess the biggest question in these verses is, man, where is your treasure? What do you spend your time thinking about? What do you spend your life running towards? What do you spend your days working towards? Because where the end of that is, that's where your heart is. If every day you wake up and what motivates you is a relationship, or what motivates you is money, or what motivates you is some flat screen TV, if what motivates you to get through that day to the next day is, man, if I just do this, I can have this, then that's where your thought is. And that's where your mindset is, and that's where your direction is, and that's what you're living for. And if that's anything other than God, your heart is set on earthly things. And Jesus looks at him and he says, man, I'm the thing of like the greatest value in the entire universe. And you're missing it because you're chasing after something else. I'm the thing that like nobody's ever going to steal from you, and you're chasing after this. I'm the thing that's never going to wear out. I'm never going to get tired. I'm never going to die. I am eternal. That is temporary, and your heart is set on that. You see, Jesus, in this moment, to these people, this religious people, is casting some perspective into their life. It says in 22, the eye is the lamp of the body. You got a couple words here. We're going to talk about eye. Think about that. It's talking about physically the eye. But the eye has a job, and that job is to focus on things. Like, if I'm looking over here, I can choose what I'm focusing on, and I couldn't see that if I didn't have eyes. I wouldn't have a perception of that if I didn't have eyes. I wouldn't know there was a Kleenex box or a water or a guitar pick. I wouldn't know any of that stuff was over there without eyes. And it says the eye is the lamp of the body. We think about a lamp. We don't have lamps anymore. We invented flashlights, and they're probably a little better. But a lamp was used when it was dark to light the path so you could see where your next step was, where you were walking, where your direction is. And here Jesus says to these people, man, your eye is the lamp of your body. Your eye, your focus, your focal point sets the direction for your life. What you're looking at and what you're going toward, the path that you're on is set by your eye. Your eye is what creates desire, really. Your eye is what puts things in your focus that you want and you see, and it aims where you're going. It lights the path that you're walking on. And then Jesus says, man, the eye is the lamp of the body. He says, if your eye is good, your whole body will be full of life. He says, man, if your path is good, if where you're going is good, if the road you're walking on is good, then your whole body will be full of life. Think about the body. It's the vessel we're in. It's life. The body is temporary. He says, man, if your eyes set on what is good, your life will be full of life. If you think about light, thought about like the light and dark chess pieces. I'm a nerd. You got the white chess pieces, they're the good army, and you got the black chess pieces, and they're the bad army. And white, light has always been associated with good, and darkness, black, has always been associated with bad. It's just something that happens. I don't know why that is, but it's just true. Says, man, if your eyes set on the right thing, if your eyes set on me, if your eyes set on heavenly things, if your eye is set on eternity, your life will be full of goodness, light. Jesus is the light of the world. If you look at John, he's saying your life will be full of me. He goes on, he says, but if your eye is bad, if your eyes set on bad things, earthly things, your whole body will be full of darkness. So if the light within you is darkness, how deep is that darkness? Saying, man, if your life is set on the wrong thing, if your direction, if your path is set on the wrong thing, it's not going to look awesome for you in your life. It's not going to be such an awesome life. See, Jesus came and he said he came to give life and life more abundantly. Well, how does that happen? It doesn't happen by chasing after stuff. It only comes by chasing after Jesus. Last week we were reading, I think it was James, and we talked about how God desired to have a relationship with us. He doesn't want us to simply believe in Him, but He wants us to give ourselves to Him. He wants us to submit our entire life to Him. Our words become Jesus' words. Our actions become Jesus' actions. And we submit to God. We say, God, You're in charge. Then Satan is not in charge. That's an automatic. Satan can't tell you what to do if Jesus is telling you what to do, because they don't line up. They won't match up. They never get even close. Because Satan's will for your life and God's will for your life are two different things. And Jesus' will for your life is that you will have life. And you will have it more abundantly. And Satan's will for your life is that he kills you. The Bible's pretty clear about that. I just would ask this question, how many of us feel like, man, we're living life abundantly? When I got up this morning, I was like, man, life is the most amazing thing ever, man. I'm living it more than anybody else. Because to be completely honest, most of us probably get up every morning and think, man, if I can just get to the weekend, if I can just get to this afternoon, if I can just get to off work, if I can just get to this place or this thing or this time, man, it'll be awesome. If I can just get to vacation, I think about that when I leave vacation. See, to be completely honest, most of us don't know what life and life more abundantly is, because we've never really jumped into life and life more abundantly. And it's because the world has this thing, this rat race that we're all caught up in. This thing that we've locked onto and we've bought into, where we feel like, man, we've got to keep up with this person to be happier. We have to reach this bank account status to be happier. We have to own this thing to be happy. Or we have to get this many likes on Instagram to be happy. You feeling me? Right there, you got to get 25 or nobody likes you. You got to get 40 and you're almost popular. You get 100 and you're like the cell phone guy. Like, you're almost popular. We're living for standards that are set by earthly things. And we bought into this idea that if we just work really hard to get this thing, we'll be happy. Or if we just drive this thing, man, we'll be happy. Or if we just do this, people will like us. Or if we just get this many friends or this many followers or this many hits on whatever, then we'll feel good about ourselves. And what it really is we bought into this idea that earthly things can do something that they really can't do. And because we bought into that, we chase after that, and we strive after that, and we throw our attention into that, and our effort into that, to amass something that's not really worth anything. Because at the end of the day, like Jesus said, everything on this planet decays. Everything on this planet is temporary, and it will wear out, and it's probably already worn out, and it doesn't make us feel alive, really, does it? We look at a world that's driven that way. Want, want, want. Desiring something that they think is going to make them whole, that maybe we think is going to make us whole, that's never had the ability to make us whole. And Jesus looks at these people and he says, you're missing the point. You're missing the point. You see, how many of you wake up every morning and think, man, I'm living in what God has made me for? Man, today I'm living in what God has made me for. When I go to work, or I go to school, or I go to wherever I go every day, it's like, man, this is what God has made me for. For this time to this time, I'm going to be here, and I'm going to do this thing, and then I'm going to get this thing, and then I'm going to be happy because that's what God wants for me. Right, the point of life is happiness. If you think the point of life is happiness, you're missing the point. Or the point of life is that I work really, really hard so I can eat good food. If you think it's all about that, you're missing the point. Or I work really, really hard so I can have air conditioning and heat. Now I can have money, or I can have friends, or I can gain popularity. If you're thinking and living towards any of that stuff, you're missing the point. You were never created for that. We were always created for something better, something higher. Now, I don't think that the mass amount of what I was created for was to wake up every morning and go to Holston Middle School. That may be part of it. I'm not saying God's will for me is not to have a job. I'm not saying that. Jesus was not saying that. I'm not even really saying God's will for me was not to have a nice car or a nice house. Maybe that is God's will for you. I'm not saying God's will for you is to not have friends. That would be the opposite, I think, of what God's will for you is. I just think that when that is our focus, we're missing life. We're missing a lot more of it. God's created us to be part of something bigger and grander than this paycheck or this date on calendar or this position or this whatever. And Jesus looks at these people and he says, man, you're settling for less. I made you for something bigger. I made you for something grander, and you're settling for less. When you wake up and you lock your eyes on this, and this is all you're living for, you're missing what's up here. It's the equivalent, really, of me waking up in the morning and setting my desire on a brick. Man, I would really like to have that brick. That would be awesome if I could just have that brick. Have you ever, there's a Twitter account. I relate everything to social media because I don't have a real life. There's a Twitter account that's like average life goals. See what I mean? It's pretty funny. And it shows pictures of just like random stuff that you could attain. There's no hard way. Like, I would love to take a ride on this school bus this morning. That would make my day. Like, that's the equivalent of the stuff that's on this. And I feel like, really, that if we put average Christian goals on Twitter, it would probably be just as common. Like, if in heaven they had this Twitter app and they could watch what we are wasting our lives on, there would be, probably we'd be not laughing, but if it was me, I'd probably laugh. Because we've set our eyes on dirt. We've set our eyes on creation. We've locked eyes on something that God made, and we strive and we fight and we wear ourselves out and we work and we work and we work to get dirt. maybe pretty dirt, but it's dirt. Man, if I could just get that. And we miss the fact that above that is this creator. There's this guy who made all that stuff, not even with great effort, just spoke it and it happened. And we've locked our eyes on mud and we've missed the creator. See, when we lock our eyes on anything other than Jesus, and we live and we strive and we fight, and then we even die for things that are not Jesus, we have missed the point. And we're settling for something way less than God has ever planned for us to have. See, God wants the best for us. He doesn't want the worst for us or even second best for us. God wants us to have the best. And the best that there ever is or ever was or ever will be is Jesus. And living for anything else, striving for anything else, fighting for anything else, desiring for anything else will never be what God has intended for you. It'll never be enough. That's why when you get a new car, you want a new car. So when you get a new house, you want a new house, or you get a big paycheck, you want a bigger paycheck, or you get this certain person in your life, you want this person in your life. Or you put this substance in your body and you want more of that substance. It's because earthly things were never meant to fulfill. Earthly things were never meant to make us whole. Earthly things were never meant to do anything except be tools to lead other people to the only thing. So the point of all this tonight is, the point is, Jesus. Flat out, nothing else. I don't have anything better tonight for us. I don't have anything more life-changing for us tonight except for that. The point is Jesus. If you wake up tomorrow morning and you set your sights on, set your goals on anything else other than, man, I got to get to Jesus. You set your goal to God. If you set your sight on anything other than, man, I'm going to see Jesus, you settle for less. The words of Jesus here. 24, he says, no one can be a slave to two masters, since either he will hate one or love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot be slaves to God and of money. He looks at these people and he says, man, can't work for both. You can't desire both. You can't set your life towards both. You can't wake up every morning and be thinking about both. You can't go to bed every night and be thinking about both. You just can't do that. Those two things aren't equal and they're not together and they're not even on the same playing field. And if you can only choose one, just to put things in perspective for you. One is a breath. One is forever. And ever, and ever, and ever, and ever, and ever. So if you're going to have something, it probably needs to be the one that's going to last. Let's pray. Father God, tonight we just thank you.